This media is brought to you by Polyscope.
I'm Cassie Bishop.
And I'm Ray Turing.
Dive into the heart of AI innovation with us on AI Daily.
Bringing you breaking news in AI, unveiling the future as it unfolds.
Subscribe now and stay ahead with AIDaily.us.
Why listen to the past when you can listen to the future? Welcome to the Think Future podcast, broadcasting live from the heart of Silicon Valley, California. We focus on AI, startups, humanity, and the future. Not necessarily those, and not necessarily in that order. Here's your host.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's great to finally meet you, because this is how we meet each other nowadays, through Zoom. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization and what you're passionate about?
Yeah, thanks, Chris, for having me. It's a great show you have here. Look forward to the latter part of the segment, too. My name is Tim Estes. I've been an AI CEO entrepreneur since I was 20 years old. And so,
No. It just came out last year. Come on. Tell the truth.
In some ways, like, you could say that I was in it before it was cool, but the truth is it's 60 plus years old and it's gone through cycles. And my last company got founded at the trough of a cycle too. Mm-hmm. So spent a long time applying artificial intelligence in this company called Digital Reasoning to a lot of hard problems, like, you know, counterterrorism efforts, and then finding like batting corrupt bankers and monitoring communications, finding trafficked children online that, you know, would actually.
So this is definitely in the AI for good space.
It always has been for me. And then I ended up becoming a dad, and I've got a couple of boys. One of my boys is actually turning 8 today. And wow. And so
that's a fun age.
It's a lot of fun right now. And so what happened was the issues of what they would be facing as they grew up got to be very important to me and very personal. And so that led me to build a new company called Angel AI.
I love the name, by the way. That's a great name. Great name.
Well, we love it too. It's our 5-year-olds. And so, you know, there's been a few angels out there, but, you know, none like ours. And so when we look at it, we wanted something that would really give them a much more healthy experience online, to sort of almost remake the whole internet with kids in mind. Mm-hmm. And they could grow up with them. So it may start with young kids, but we have a vision of this that can grow and progress as kids get older. And it's, you know, essentially it's this opening to be a personal AI that a bunch of parents have designed for kids, that can, you know, solve this immense gap of opening up technology and curiosity to kids, but without overexposing them, because the business model behind Angel is just like, you know, a smart browser. I mean, it's essentially like a browser powered by AI. It's maybe what the browser would be if we built it today, for kids.
Nice.
And it does a tremendous amount of curiosity satisfaction for kids on all kinds of subjects, but then starts to bridge them to content on the internet, and then can serve as a way to direct them to good stuff and not just say no to things, which has been typically a problem in this space, is that mostly they've been glorified firewalls. And
right,
we think the only way kids are going to adopt it is if it's actually, you know, compelling to them.
Right. So what makes this different from, say, something I can install on my kids to block the sites that they go to? I mean, how does this, I'm assuming this is, that's like a granddaddy of what this is, but how is it different?
Yeah. I mean, we wanted to have, so I guess the way I started is we started by looking at how our kids start using technology. And a lot of them start nowadays by talking to Siri or Alexa. So they're kind of naturally voice-based browsers.
Interesting. Yeah.
And, you know, we as adults have had to convert to this weird process called keyword search to go get a bunch of stuff.
So unnatural.
And then read it. I mean, like, that's not how, like, you know, we really think. It's not like you meet someone and you throw like a word at them or two words and they get you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not how we engage as human beings.
Tennis player?
No. Yeah, exactly. And so tennis player from Sweden. And so you could kind of And so it's just, it starts into being really challenging. And we converted the way we work naturally to fit what the machines could do. We now are at a point post ChatGPT and with really cool services like Perplexity and U.com, like Perplexity announced a really big round recently and they're doing amazing stuff. Like we're going to see, I think, search be totally transformed as a question answering capability. And search and links will become subordinate to the AIs doing that work for us to gather.
Absolutely. It's a pastime.
It's really quite, for those people that excel in research and love to know, like it's really exciting for us. What's weird though is like within 3 or 4 years, you can envision that we won't use keywords hardly at all anymore. Like it'll be so antiquated. It'll be like going to the Yahoo directory in the late 90s. And so kids, this generation, the alphas, they never have to learn it. And that was our epiphany was we now can make an age-appropriate, interactive, conversational AI that can adapt with the kid and answer their questions, but also can be a bridge, basically replace search for them and accumulate context so that search becomes more powerful and more personal and more effective, both in what's found and what's explained. And if you do that, you've solved the filtering problem a different way because you're not having them go open into the internet. You actually have this guy, this sort of angel on their shoulder along the way.
Right.
The name. And we think that is the healthy way for kids to be engaged with technology and without kind of having to force this argument that's been going on between this, what I'll call the A cells and D cells of the safety movement. The A cells in this one is like technology will make personal tutoring and all these great things. So keep your kids plugged in. The D cells are like the Jonathan Haidt's that document very effectively, like how much harm has come from the unintended side effects of a lot of this technology, and especially the business models that have been used against adversarially against these kids.
Right.
And are going to be used against my kids unless we do something about it. Right. So Angel comes out of a belief that I'm a technologist, I've seen the power of technology to help people, to save lives, to do powerful things. I believe innovation is net positive if it's tied to people and business models that are net ethical.
Mm.
And so when we see the harms, it's often because something was known at some point and people just look the other way and then 10 years goes by and it's an epidemic.
Right.
And that's kind of what's played out in a lot of these kids' safeties with the kind of abuse you see on Instagram and all these other areas. None of this is new. A lot of this has been known. It's gotten more obvious to the point they dragged the CEOs in front of Congress, 3 months ago and just go thing after thing. And they just don't have good counters to it. It starts being not credible. And I'm sympathetic to parents that feel so bad about that they want to disconnect their kids. But I want to give another way. I think our team wants to give another way, which is like empower your kids, but now you can do it knowing they're safer than any generation online before.
Well, don't you have to have a locked device to not let them go anywhere else, though? I mean, isn't there some hardware requirement as well?
So what's really cool is between what Apple and Android give you now, as a parent, you can use their tooling to kind of accomplish that, to either directly lock down a variety of applications, and or time limit, so that you're enforcing a little bit of balance, like for them and their screen time usage. Angel actually can hook into that technology. And we have a very simple way where parents want to take their device. Like a real use case is, you're out at a restaurant and your kid has a question and you kind of know the answer, but you kind of don't know the answer. And like you want to go look it up instead of like sitting there and searching for anything else. Like you can now hand Angel on your device over. No, it's in Angel safe mode where they can't get anything else. And they can have their questions answered or they can interact.
Nice.
And it can find, not just like answers, but YouTube and other things that are interesting content points. But knowing that content has been filtered and re-ranked to something that's relevant and positive for them. And so that's really the key. So we do look into those things. We're not building that out because number one, the core smartphone vendors and smart device vendors are doing, a decent job of investing in the controls. It just isn't the easiest controls to leverage. So we try to make it really easy. But we think that's kind of a small thing because there's a lot of kids that are always going to have a handful of things that they do beyond Angel. There'll be games. There'll be, certain streaming sites or other things that the parents are okay with as long as it's time limited, right?
Right. Managed.
So we think that Angel becomes a primary on-ramp for younger kids. As they get older, it becomes more of a co-pilot to help them explore and understand and save them tons of time. But there'll be all these other things they're engaged on also. But the more we can steer them kind of to healthy things, and then, you know, use Angel as a bit of a bridge to nudge people in the real world, or to do things in the real world. Like, oh, you know, you've been on Angel for 45 minutes. It's a great day outside. You know, maybe you should go kick soccer ball with your brother, right? Like that we envision an AI that is acting that way. And that's what we're trying to program into it now. That because if our real objective function, this AI, is the wellness of the child, and that's kind of what differentiates, like what drives the AI we have, is we're trying to engineer from both experts and then eventually feedback loops, what is positive wellness improvements for the child. We know part of that is going to be better balance between time on the screen and in the virtual and time in the real. And right now that's very out of balance as kids get older, right?
Yeah. It's funny you should mention that, because that was my next question was going to be, how do you set that initial, how do you set the initial set of content or experience or whatever, so that the child slowly slips into it effortlessly?
Yeah. So when the parent sets up Angel, you know, they provide, you know, information obviously about the age of the child. It's very careful and, you know, not keeping personally identifiable pieces. And so we're COBA compliant and other regulation compliance in this. And we're never doing anything with that data. So just fundamentally, there's no advertising and there's no resale of any data. The only thing that's happening is when parents volunteer, like the interest of their child, like, you know, my oldest is really into Lego and has been there since a young kid. There's a lot of other things. He's probably more into football now than Lego. And that wasn't true 18 months ago. So kids get new interests and it evolves.
Yep.
He's into basketball too. And that's actually new in the last 6 months, right? So it's sort of, so it's evolving. So what we do is the parents can set up at day one, like interest of their child, and then characteristics and qualities they want Angel to reinforce, like empathy or patience. And we use the word value sometimes, but if we use that word at all, we want to make sure it's separated from sort of ideology.
Right.
Like no ideology in Angel. There's just what's factual and not factual. And then there's a large portion of where Angel, if a question comes down an area that's very sensitive, where the AI will basically take it to the parent.
And go ask your dad, go ask your mom.
Pretty much is what it says, like talk to a trusted adult and then and notifies them, because it's not like Angel can be a great partner in helping bring parenting online, but Angel is not a replacement of parenting.
Right.
And we think
to the dismay of many parents, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't know that I trust any tech company to parent my kids.
Right.
If anything, the ones that are there now, when they parent them, the stuff they put in front of them is something I would never like choose to put in front of my kids. So the fact they do millions of kids and they monetize that sort of disqualifies them, in my opinion, from being trusted there. And that's why, you know, Angel is not some enhancement of their platform. It's why it's a new AI platform, because the incumbents, we don't believe, have really earned the right and or the trust to be able to take this on. So.
Yeah, so I've always believed in personal AI is where we need to go for all people, not just kids, right? So how do you keep it away from, so because right now when we interact with AI, it's Amazon's AI or it's Google's AI or it's Meta's AI or it's open. So there's giant large language models behind generative AI, and these guys own it all. They own the data. They own everything that we feed into it. How do you get away from that?
Well, what's really impressive is how much the open source community has started to quickly catch up to even some of the frontier models.
Mm-hmm.
So with this last week with, you know, Meta, I may have a big issue with Meta's business model, but I also have some of the best technologists in the world in this problem. And they released Llama 3 last week, which essentially is a model that outclasses the original ChatGPT on probably, I think, something on the order of 1/20th the number of parameters.
Nice.
And so it's massively more efficient. And it's a testimony to how important the education of the machine is to its performance, because it's a lot about curriculum, much like human beings. And so it's not just about more parameters and more compute power. It's actually about how do you teach it? And so I think that what's going on now is the ability to have your own language model to be able to tune it to your problem and then to collaborate with other models in those gaps is becoming the new pattern. A year ago, or even 6 months ago, if you went down the role of building your own language model and fine tuning it, it might have been ridiculously expensive. So it was, you know, it took companies that raised 10, 20, 30 million to do that. That's probably one fifth the cost today than it was then. And it's dropping rapidly. So I do believe that there's be capabilities, what we call frontier models, you know, like GPT-5 when and if it comes out. But it doesn't mean that a lot of the valuable productization functions require that. I think many large enterprises, as well as now consumer applications, are starting to repurpose the open technologies and to extend them, train them, and realize that the underlying tech is part of the capability, but the product, the building of that flow, becomes really important to it being adopted. And that's, we're kind of in the Darwinian or the Cambrian explosion. Then there's going to be that Darwinian, like, you know, fight to the finish. Then you're going to see a lot of these companies fall away. And then some will emerge because they nail product, not just, you know, underlying tech.
Right. So, but this, it doesn't actually live on the device, right? It still lives in the cloud. You guys run servers. You just run a specific subset of it specifically for this personal AI. So how is this segregated against all the others that are in the
So our, you know, we will be running this kind of in the cloud. That way it can be persistent. You know, so if you're on different devices, if you have Angel running on your kid's iPad, then you have that account running on your personal iPhone as an adult, it's the same experience, right? It's the same. So we have to do that. I do think over time, they'll be part of that compute and part of the data storage that may live at the client level. I think we're not too far away from that. I just think that the mixture of tech and hardware is not quite there, but very close. And so our model is that we have our own proprietary safety architecture, how we enforce that the responses, the questions and the responses that are coming back are made age appropriate. And that's, you know, like I said, but that's both on a toxicity level to make sure there's an overexposure of things that are inappropriate to the age, like rating system almost kind of being enforced through the AI. And the second is one where it's you know, it's important to explain it at the complexity level. So one of the coolest things we've seen is where you have 9-year-olds able to ask about something like Moore's Law.
Yeah.
Like their parents might chat about it and they ask about it and it explains it to them in really straightforward ways. It's all true, but appropriate to them. And so the explore function of it becomes very powerful. I had an older child that had asked about the difference between the general and special theories of relativity, and watching that get explained to essentially a 12-year-old was pretty interesting, you know, pretty compelling. Refreshed my own memory on some of the
subject.
And I think that there's a lot of utility in that, but there's also, you know, we realize that's only understanding and knowledge discovery is only part of why people use the internet. There's also a strong entertainment piece. So we think that we're providing optionality for safe entertainment inside Angel, like by what videos brought back, other content, other activities will add over time. And we're definitely solving that question answering problem for the kids. And then finally, like there is a really cool component where we are looking at the questions the kids have asked. I said, the system is looking at those questions and is learning from them and then sending insights to the parent. So every week there's a little update, like your son has interest in this. You could nurture this by that and that and that. And we've had numerous parents in the beta testing so far who have been really like taken by that. It happens to fit the tempo of you know, how parents can engage. Like if something really interesting happens, they can afford to engage daily, but most parents it's like a weekly thing because you work in the week and then you go to the weekend, and it's really neat to get that email like on a Friday night or Saturday morning that your two or three kids, here's the different things they're asking about. And
are you sure your AI is not reading my mind? Because that was going to be my next question. It's like, how do the parents get informed about what the kids' progress is and stuff like that? I mean, and then what does the form of this report take? Does he get an email saying, hey, here's how Johnny did this week, or?
Well, we have this thing we're kind of calling it a living journal of the kids' curiosity.
Nice.
And so we have like a portal for the parents that's documenting over time, almost like a timeline of what they've been interested in. And there's a lot of inspiration in it coming from things like, you know, the iPhone has this really cool, I mean, it's also when, you know, your Apple TV and other things, but the really cool notion of memories where the AI would just put together some photos, even put some music to it. And it's one of those really neat things. And occasionally those are so cool, you want to share them. We think parents that are engaged with their children would love to have almost this assisted journal of their kids' interests as they grow up. And also, of course, be alerted when they're like diving into areas, almost like they ask a question like, well, where do you hear about that?
Yeah.
You know, what happens with us as parents, if we're realistic, is like that often does happen. And we have a time delay of weeks or months before we maybe fully realize that they've talked to someone and they've already been curious down an area where they could use some guidance. And we didn't know until they've already got formed views.
Yeah.
Or at least maybe misinformation. If they're getting it from their peers, it often isn't correct. And I think what Angel does is Angel becomes a safe place that they can engage with their curiosity potentially daily. And the parents, therefore, now are brought closer to the child because they can see that curiosity in action and know that they're going down this road. I probably should talk to them about that because I wonder where that came from.
I love this because it's kind of reminding me of when I was a kid and my parents would always take videos and movies of us, you know, doing our stuff. And this is kind of like journaling the kid's life at the same time as it's learning and expanding its horizons. And this is going to be a great thing to look back upon. So I love all of the different aspects of this. It's very cool.
Yeah. Our goal is that when kids eventually grow up and maybe get married, that when they pull out the scrapbook, they pull out Angel and they can export some stuff from
Angel. We show it at the wedding, right?
Yeah. So Angel, maybe this isn't a selling point for kids. We'll embarrass you 10 years later, but no, it's all legit. And I think that one thing that's important is we're trying to walk the line between the ability of parents to deeply understand their child and realizing it's their both legal responsibility and right to be able to kind of shepherd the child through this phase. I mean, it starts off with telling your kids like don't go run in traffic, and we now 5-10 years later, the don't go run in traffic might be you shouldn't go onto Instagram and do that, right?
So
we think that's a legitimate place for parents, and it's how we are acting as parents. And so we have no need to kind of defend that, but then we realize that parents are outgunned. Like they aren't given the tooling and the technology, to allow that to counterbalance all these influences on their kids. And we believe Angel could start that journey. Now we think there'll be a version of Angel. The initial version of Angel is really for 5 to 12-year-olds. So it's for younger kids. It's hitting an age group when they're initially on ramping the internet. And as they're starting to engage and learn language and talk and get curious. And then it becomes more of the co-pilot as they get older. And we believe there's probably another iteration of Angel that's more appropriate for, say, 12, 13 to 17. And that iteration will work on in the future. But, that would have higher notions of privacy so that adolescents know there's things that they can engage on with Angel. And it's not all going to necessarily be seen. But at the same time, nothing that's toxic or explicit or otherwise would come through. So the parents' interest in sort of still protecting them would be there. And so we have some work to do. We're engaging with like child psychologists and pediatricians and sort of experts in these areas to get the kind of guidance we need. And of course, with a lot of parents.
Yeah.
But Angel is not going to end at 12 or 13. It's going to hopefully morph into something that kind of goes alongside of the kid through their adolescence and grows up with them. And ultimately, there may be an Angel when kids graduate at 18 that becomes just their AI.
Yeah. I love the idea is that, so it's kind of like think like a futurist. It's year 2034, but I'm thinking that I would love to be able to see something like this actually extract patterns from a child's over the course of the child's life to help direct them to what professions they should do or what things they should do next. I think, is that something that's in your roadmap?
Yeah, I think we view this as an AI platform for the family, and it serves different pieces. The app that we're starting with, we believe, is answering its essential need, which is a safe and secure but highly powerful on-ramp to the internet and to online content for younger kids. And it's a different model than, just put them in front of YouTube and hope the autoplay doesn't take them to a weird place, right? Which is the reality today. Like that's the number one reality for parents on technology is the kids will watch YouTube and then they're watching some silly influencer thing, X number of days into it and they get hooked on it. And you're just like, what happened? And so, I don't say this as a parent that is being hypothetical, right? I'm one, y'all are one, and we know what we're facing here. So I think that starting solving that problem is a good place. But what happens is you're now learning all of this very interesting knowledge about this child, and you're trusted with it, and that knowledge can really influence like the child for good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, how it influences is really driven by, you know, what the parents like want to reinforce. And it's also influenced by things that are objectively, you know, tracked for wellness. And that's something we'll be working more on. But we do envision Angel being something that's always there, like, you know, Angel on a watch, so that you could ask a question there and it's going and doing work for you in the background as a kid. Or as a parent, you want to ask about something related to your kid, and now you have, you know, this AI that knows this and is there supporting it. The most important thing is we may be the manufacturer of this car, but you own the car.
Right.
Like, our business model is fundamentally different than the others. This is how software was. I would say this is how software should be again. And I believe, you know, let's step out 10 years. And that's one of the things I love about this, your podcast, is if we step out 10 years from now, I believe several things that don't seem entirely obvious today will not only have happened, but will seem like they're obvious in retrospect. And one of those is this complete moving on from search and even websites and destinations as we know it.
Yep.
I think we've lived in this weird 20-year period of the direct tie of human beings to the internet. And we're about to enter into a new 20-year period of the intermediated internet, where AI serves us. And across, you know, all kinds of functions, service in our work lives as adults, serve kids in their educational process, serve them in their sort of social process. And the power gets more distributed and more fair. And ideally, the abuses go down when that happens. And so sort of the, you know, inverse of, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, if you were breaking up and democratizing that power, so each parent had a pretty powerful AI that could be a wrapper for their family and their interests, you would expect it would change fundamentally that balance for the better. And that's what we're going to try to accomplish.
Right.
So I think that kids grow up with their own AIs in this future world. One of my favorite like movies was the old Robin Williams movie, Bicentennial Man. I don't know if
you... Oh, I remember that.
And so we're like, you know, he's kind of, you know, a little dorky. It's a little very data-like. There's some really good robots like in the movies that are really fun characters, like, you know, Evie and Wally and Wally, obviously. And then, you know, the character in that movie and Bicentennial Man, and then you have two or three others that are really interesting. Commander Data, you know, when I grew up with. And I think there is this notion of early AIs trying to understand humans and getting better and better, and eventually having deep empathy. And so I actually think there's a lot of talk about the alignment problem. How do you have AIs essentially be aligned with human interest and not diverge and become very dangerous? I mean, if they grow up alongside as friends of our children, I'm hopeful that takes us more in the right direction.
Yeah. They need to get to know us. Once they get to know us.
Yeah. Our good and our bad. Right. And and I think that, and so I think over that 10-year sort of horizon, every family has multiple AIs that serve them. The idea of them going directly to sites and content sources is a little antiquated, because your AI can go find anything for you perfectly. I think commerce changes, because I believe that
hugely. I can't imagine it's going to be my AI talking to your AI. So when I'm going to order milk, it's like the AI will already know the milk needs to be ordered. And if the question is who are they going to get it from? How are they going to get the best price? It's all AIs talking to each other. All of these burdens that we have right now, many of these burdens will be lifted because the AI will be doing these things for us.
Yeah, I think we just had to figure out, like, how do human beings sort of stay in shape mentally? Like, if basically this becomes the Google Maps for
the AI will help us stay in shape mentally.
Right? Yeah, I mean, that's the challenge. Like, I can, you know, I used to be decent in directions. I'm okay now in my own home. But, like, you get this crutch of Google Maps.
I know. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll give you an example. Like, I go to London regularly. I've got a lot of good friends there, and we had an office there in my previous company. And I have such amazing respect for the black taxi drivers there. I almost always try to use them instead of, Uber, even though I'm a fan of people trying to make the wage.
And no GPS there.
Yeah, but these people go through years of training and learn, like, where everything is. So you can just tell them, and they're not looking at them. It's unbelievable, like, that level of discipline. And so I think there is something to be said of, we've got to figure out how to like stay healthy and in shape mentally as this world happens. But Chris, I agree with you. I think that there's going to be, you know, a numerous like number of AIs per person, and there's going to be billions of people with them. So you're going to have about tens of billions of AIs or hundreds of billions doing these little things, maybe more. And it's going to change a lot of how our expectations are. And we, you know, it'll be disruptive too. And so I think that this is why I think you can't, as much as I like would like to rewind a little bit of what's happened or a lot of what's happened, like Jonathan Haidt does with like Anxious Generation, like I'd like to rewind it if we could. I don't think you can really go backwards. You have to find a way through. You have to find a way that doesn't take this change that's going in the world and take your family and kids out of it, because they're going to be so under-equipped. They're going to be so behind if they don't have access to this kind of tech. And yet they shouldn't have to sacrifice their childhood to get the tech, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And there is another way to do it. And like, I'm hopeful Angel is one of maybe several that try, but you know, we are going to try as hard as we can to do this and bring it to millions of kids.
Nice. I love it. Hopefully you're going to have an adult version soon too, because I want to use this for myself.
Yeah, it's a lot more challenging to take on the whole internet than the internet that should be there for 12 and below. And so we're trying to be, you know,
one day.
Company is when I was a young entrepreneur, like it was all so easy theoretically, and it took me 20 years to go build it all out. Yeah. I thought I'd take like four. And I think now you get a little seasoned in that and you're like, let's really make something compelling for these younger kids that move into their adolescence. Let's think about the design of the product and how it has to evolve to appreciate and grow up with them. And then at that point, when we get that down well, then we probably have earned the right to put an offering out that anybody can use that wants their own trusted AI. But I think we go in that sequence and build trust along the way and get it right along the way.
Yeah, but I'm glad to see that this is coming, because this is fantastic. So if someone else wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
So I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably where people like can see me and watch things I write about. You know, angelkids.ai is the site, you know, for us. We are taking on signups when we launch this summer for, you know, kind of an invite only phase. We will, we only recently got kind of our seed round together, and that is now empowering us to go and get this out there for broader testing. But yeah, we welcome people to come to Angel Kids to be able to, you know, sign up for this, be first in line, you know, as we make it available to parents. You know, we already have probably nearly 100 families like testing this now, and then it should hopefully go up by, you know, order of magnitude, or hopefully two as this goes along. And the more feedback we get, the more we can make it what parents want and need.
And fantastic. Kids, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much. I'll put the links in the show notes so anybody can go direct. So thank you so much. It's been great.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Right. Talk to you soon. Bye.